Good morning. Lord, I just release my heart to you this morning that you may speak through me. You may declare your kingdom through this vessel. I yield myself to you, to your lordship, to your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I really got pretty excited about this morning's word, even though it may take you a while to get through to the exciting part. But be patient with it. Look to Luke chapter 8. One of the things that has come out the last couple of weeks is the saying, perfected in unity, revealed in love, and expressed in joy. It's kind of a mission statement in the sense that whatever that God does in our midst is to bring us into a place of oneness. Hear, O Israel, that the Lord thy God is one. And when we look at the implication of oneness, we see that the whole kingdom of God revolves around that the very essence of what oneness is all about, because it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And thank God that they chose to include us in their little party. Amen? That we're brought in to the same fellowship that they have together. That's the beautiful part about eternity, is that we know that whatever happens from this point forth, from our place of faith, we have an assurance of this great communion with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we know that when we pass from this life into that life, that we're going to move into a deeper realm than what we know even now. But in the meantime, there is a realm of that that actually can manifest in the midst of us. It's what it's all about when we talk about heaven coming to earth. We're really talking about relationships being revealed on the earth that are already established in heaven. Whatever the Son has with the Father there, He manifests that here. That's how the kingdom was revealed, wasn't it? The Father was revealed through the Son. And consequently, the Son revealed the Father. They mirrored each other. Because of who the Father was, He revealed who the Son was. Who the Son was revealed who the Father was. Before Christ came, there was never any clear revelation of who the Father was, because we interpreted Him according to what we knew through Mosaic law, or through the kings that men appointed for themselves. But we didn't see a pure representation of who He was until He was revealed through Christ. It was only then that the Father could really show us how much He loved us. I believe that God has loved humanity all along, don't you? But it was only through Christ that that love was demonstrative or revealed to us. So, perfected in unity, revealed in love, expressed in joy. That's kind of the process, isn't it? And when we look at Jesus and His relationship to the Father, it's the most incredible thing that you can find, that you'll be able to pull out of the whole Bible. If you could get the principle of what it's like, what unity's like between the Father and the Son, how that applies into your life, that one principle will transform you. Because it'll bring you to the place to where you begin to realize that Jesus is not just a Savior. Most of Christianity is pretty much focused on the fact that Christ has come to save us from our sin. He's come to deliver us from the evil one. He's come to heal us from our sickness. He's come to return for us in the last days. And so we appreciate so much the aspect of salvation. How many are glad you're saved this morning? How many are glad that the Lord intervenes on your behalf to cause things to happen for you? That all my needs are supplied according to His riches and glory. That by His stripes I'm healed. Are you excited about that? He is our Savior. But the thing that God's revealing in this hour is that I want to be so much more to you than just your salvation. I want to be to you just as I am to the Father. See, to know Him just as my salvation, that's great. I love the benefits of the Lord. There's no corporation in America that can give you as much benefit package as He can. He's my life. He's my joy. He's my song. He's everything to me. He's my Jesus. He's the one that hung on a cross and died for my sins, that I don't have to be judged any longer. But I can walk free from the spirit of condemnation, and I can walk into this glorious liberty that He has. But there's another level that He's saying, I'm bringing you to, that's even greater. Now I'm going to give to you my authority. I've given you my blessing, but now I want to lay a mantle on you of authority. And that's what we call a revelation of the Lordship of Christ. See, whatever you have a revelation of Him to you is exactly what He becomes to you. He can be no greater to you than your revelation of who He is. And He wants to reveal Himself not only as the salvation to you, but He wants to come to you and reveal to you how you can become a partaker of His kingdom. Not from a place just of benefits, but a place of actually being in a place of rule and reign with Him. Do you know it's the destiny of the church to be overcomers? I love the book of Revelation when it talks about that. It talks about how that he that overcomes, He'll make ruler over many nations. He that overcomes, He'll make them like pillars in the house of God. So there's this transitional thing of relationship concepts that God takes us through to where it's a progressive unfolding of who we are. It starts out on the simplest of forms. God loves me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, you saved me from my sins. Hallelujah. It starts out so simple. And it never gets complicated, but it gets so much better because He lifts you up to seat you in heavenly places, far above the things of this world that would try to destroy you. See, God brings you into a place of authority. He said all authority has been given unto Him in heaven and earth. Now I'm going to give you that same authority. How many would like to have a vesting service where God just vests you with that authority? There's a difference between authority and power. Let's look at the scripture because I'm jumping way ahead of myself. But I've got a long ways to go, but I got a short time to get there. I'm feeling good. Might have to make a two-part message out of this. Bill made a two-part message last Sunday. If you go online, use this part one and part two. First time we've had a two-part message in one service. Thank God He gives us people that we can just rag on. Y'all, be careful you hang around Bill, though, because he might pass the rag on down. If I rag on him, he might start ragging on you. But Bill knows I love him, so I can rag on him a little bit. Luke chapter 8. Is that right, Bill? I got to confirm that with you. Verse 22. Now it happened on a certain day that He got into a boat with His disciples, and He said to them, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." That's a good idea, isn't it? But as they sailed, He fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to Him and awoke Him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But He said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? Who is this guy? Who is this crazy man that can stand up and command even the winds and the water, and they obey Him?" Wow. They were freaked out because of the authority that he had. Now, the question is this. Was Jesus a superman or a man? Was Jesus just, those 30 years that he lived, was he just kind of walking around with, if he'd just pulled back any moment, it would have had a big S on his chest? Or was he a man? Was Jesus as limited as a man as you potentially are limited as a man? Was he able to rebuke the storms and the winds because he was the Son of God? Where's my scriptures? Y'all didn't put them up there, did you? They were there? Okay. They're not there anymore. Good, because we're going to the next one. The beautiful part about Jesus Christ when he came in the incarnation. See, the incarnation would be a joke if he had come as the Son of God and it could not relate to you at all. The beautiful part about the incarnation is that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And it's the same principle of when the Word becomes flesh in you. Because the same Word that transformed Jesus, the man, to become Jesus, the Christ, is the same Word that transforms you from whatever your name may be to becoming the anointed ones. The same Spirit that lived in Christ can also live in you. For it said the same Spirit that quickened his mortal body will also quicken yours. So the beautiful aspect about what God did through his sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to the earth was that he had to bring him through a perfect lineage, a seed that had not been tainted by rebellion. It was a perfect seed that was in Christ because his mother was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So that part of him was perfect. But yet he was subject to everything that you're subject to in this life. Yet he was without sin. Was it possible for him to have failed? It had to be possible for him to fail. Because if it had been impossible for him to fail, then he could not have been an example of what you're to be. I'm preaching it. But what transformed, the beautiful part about it, what transformed him, what made him become this one that carried the authority of God in his life? Well, let's find out. Let's go to John chapter 5, verse 30. I can do of myself nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Okay, that's the first thing that separated him and caused him to walk in something different than everyone else walked in. Because Christ came to do the will of the one who sent him. When Christ came, he destroyed the independent mindset to where every man would do right in his own sight. Christ came and said, now I no longer choose to do what I choose to do, but I choose to do the will of someone greater than me. The moment he made that decision, it was imparted to him who the greater one was. And he began to receive that. John chapter 8, verse 28. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself. Everybody say, do nothing of myself, but I do as my Father taught me and I speak these things. Verse 29, did we get that one already? Verse 29 says, chapter 8 of John, "He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him." Amen. See, Jesus was not a Superman or a God bottled up in a human body with no limitations. He was tempted in every point just like you are, yet he knew no sin. In fact, he even started out limited in who he, knowing who he was. Do you know that Christ only fully knew who he fully was? The completion of that knowledge came when he was baptized by John. And there was a dove that came down out of heaven and a voice. And the voice said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." At that moment, he came into the full maturation of understanding of who he really was. Now, the beautiful thing about that, let's throw that scripture up there too. Are you enjoying this kind of? I'm just kind of wading through it, and we'll get there. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom and the grace of God who was with him." So even as a young child at 12, he was beginning to understand who he was. And that's the process, isn't it, in our relationship to God. The scripture talks about how that we have milk, we have bread, and we have meat. And in the full maturation of development, when you have the milk, you have a little understanding of who you are. But mostly you're seeing the benefits of Christ to you. And that's okay. But when you have bread, you're beginning to get a little bit more revelation. But then when you progress into the meat, then all of a sudden you begin to know who you are. Now the devil is on full rampage to keep you from knowing who you are. Because if you really knew who you really were in God, then you would be like those in the book of Acts that turned the world upside down. If we really knew who we were in God, there'd be no sickness that wouldn't be instantly healed, even in our presence. But we're in the process of understanding, aren't we? We're in the process of growth. That's why you cannot, if you say, "I'm all these things," but yet you're not manifesting the evidence or the fruits of those things, then your experience hasn't caught up to your revelation yet. But see, when Christ was a full age, then God released him into ministry. In fact, Luke 2:52 says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." And there was a process that said that he even began to grow in the grace of God and his understanding. So there's that process that happens in our life that brings us to the place that we begin to realize who we are. Who are you? Are you Superman? Are you just a man that has a revelation of a God that's greater than you? I can't heal anybody, can you? I can't do much of anything by myself. But in Christ, I can do everything. When the Holy Spirit descended upon Christ and drove him into the wilderness, he met the temptations just like we meet them. And what was the devil trying to tempt him with? He was trying to challenge and cause Christ to deviate from the plan that God had set before him. But Christ came back every time. It's written. He overcame the devil, didn't he? By the word of God. How do you overcome? by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. It's by that word that God puts in you that you overcome. Look in Philippians chapter 2. One of the things about coming into this place of authority and revelation is the way you position yourself. Everybody say, everything's about position. If you want to walk in dominion and rule and reign in your life, if you want to be a triumphant Christian that walks in the authority of Christ, then listen carefully what the scripture tells you. Because it said that you're to have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Let's go back. What did he do? Considered it robbery to be counted equal. Made himself of no reputation. It wasn't that just that he didn't have a reputation. He made himself of no reputation. Humbled himself. Became obedient. Some of you get your wrinkles in an uproar when anyone even mentions obedience or submission. Somehow you think that the kingdom of God can operate without that. It's not a dirty word. Submission and obedience are the two best friends you'll ever have, because without them, you'll never become like Christ. You'll only be like who you are. I don't really want to know you the way you are, but I want to know you the way Christ knows you and the way Christ wants you to be. And it's through your submission and obedience that you become like Christ. Because if Christ is the first son among many sons that are being birthed to glory, and it says that we're to follow him, then we need to follow him. We don't follow ourselves. We don't follow men. We don't follow doctrines. We don't follow religions. We follow Christ. For it's when we identify, it's in our identification with Christ and everything that he is, that we have the opportunity to become like unto him. It's never in our separation or individualism. In the Western society, we teach democracy. And so it gives us this false mindset that everyone has a voice. And we do all have a voice in a democracy, don't we? But in the kingdom of God, we don't have a voice except his voice, except his word, except what he says. That's the voice I have. I can't come to God and say, Lord, I'd like you to do something for me. No, I come to him and say, Lord, what do I do for you? That when the lordship of Christ begins to take over in your life, then it changes everything. Everything. You're no longer living for yourself. You're living for the interest of the kingdom. Whatever the kingdom represents. And this stuff we're teaching in America today, and let me get on the soapbox. I don't care. All this easy believism and seeker-friendly, it's all a bunch of... I mean, I'm not going to say it's not helping some people, but it's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is when we yield ourselves to a king. There's a government that's coming from heaven. It's a theocracy. It's the word of God that comes. It's a kingdom that will be on the whole earth. It's not little mamby-pamby stuff. It's ruling and reigning with Christ. Amen. It's not playing church. It's letting a dominion be set up in your sphere of influence that he has dominion over you. Someone has dominion over me? Yeah. Father had dominion over the Son. I only do the things that the Father says to do. I only say the things the Father says to say. I'm not going to be moved by what men say. I'm going to hear what God says. Wow. I love this because this is something that I have to keep reminding myself. You mean this doesn't just happen to you automatically? If this was supposed to happen to me, it would have just already happened to me. Bless God, if I was supposed to speak in tongues, God would open my mouth and tongues would come out. If I was supposed to humble myself and be obedient, then that's just what I'd be. But I don't feel that. I feel mad right now. I don't feel like a servant. I feel like a ruler. What's this servant stuff? You don't want to serve. You want to rule. He humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death. Wow. I love this. Don't you love it? Isn't this what you live for, the kingdom of God? Why are you in church this morning? To get healed? Yeah. To get blessed? Yeah. To get saved? Yeah. But most of all, you're here this morning. Oh, he is Lord of all. King of glory. Come in to my life. Be Lord of my life. Let me be so yielded to you that your authority would work through me that when the winds begin to come, I can speak and they'll be stopped. When you begin to move, when you begin, your life is hid in Christ, there's no such thing as the intimidation factor anymore. Nothing intimidates you then. No fear will overcome me. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Hallelujah. When my life is hid in Christ, they can burn your body, they can pickle it, they can turn it upside down and crucify it, but you're still singing a triumphant song. Hallelujah. Man, these things are really getting to me lately. I'm so scared. Hide your life in Christ. I love John. See, on the human level, he moved into authority by humbling himself, became completely submissive to the Father. Completely submissive to the Father. Completely. Amen. How do you want to change this morning? By trying to figure this thing out? No, just submit to the Father. Submit to the Father. It's simple. Submission, simple. Rebellion's hard. Being an individual out there stuck out in the wilderness with everything pounding you upside the head, that's what's hard to live the life that way. But when you yield your heart to Christ and you become his property, he becomes your defense. Your rock, your strength, your fortress, your high tower. He becomes all that to you. Because now you're no longer yourself, but you're his. John 8:29 says, "And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. For I always do the things that please him." Wow. You got to please somebody. You just want to please the Father. Jesus kept withdrawing. You know, he'd be out there ministering and all this virtue draining out of him and all this stuff. You know, I mean, he was the man of power for the hour, right? But he was a man, wasn't he? So what would he do? One time he got off in a boat and kind of like he traversed over there to the other side. Find him a quiet place to get with the Father. Oh, Father. Hallelujah. Here I come once again, Father, to you. Just to you, Lord. Wow. Man, I love this stuff. I got 5 minutes. See, submission always comes and precedes the manifestation of authority. Never before. In fact, there ought to be such submission in your heart that you submit one to another. in the fear of the Lord. Right? I mean, I can't just say I submit to God if I can't be submissive to you. I'm submissive to you, Corey. I'm submissive to you, Bill. And there's no caveats. We have to be so one together that we're submissive one to another in the fear of the Lord. See, I don't have the right to maintain my arrogance of individuality. When I declare my individuality, I'm declaring to you that I'm arrogant and I'm self-centered. But when I declare to you my submission, I'm declaring to you that there's someone that I answer to. How many would want to have a pastor of a church that doesn't answer to God? Well, that would be fun, wouldn't it? I mean, wouldn't you rather have a pastor in a church that's a little bit broken than some arrogant guy that stands up and puts his chest out and says, boy, look at me, I'm a Superman. There ain't no Superman here. There's about as much clay crawling around up on this platform as you can get on at one time without collapsing it. That's a quotable. This is an earthen vessel. An earthen vessel. Just like Jesus was an earthen vessel. Where you could say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Wow. Where is Gail Haber here this morning? The other day I came in and Gail's, it's a granddaughter. Is that her granddaughter, Natalie? It was over there the other day. Little girl. She come running up to me, don't really know her, and grabbed me and just loved on me. And Gail was like freaked out. She said, she doesn't do that. A stranger walk up and she just runs and grabs them. And, you know, she doesn't ever do that. And Gail said, I just really freaking me out. And she said, maybe she sees the Christ in you. And I'm thinking, well, maybe that's what it is. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? If they could actually see the Christ in you. I tell you, I get up in front of my mirror up in the bathroom and I stand there and I look in there until I see the Christ in me. Sometimes I got to wade through a few layers to get there. See, when we align with Christ's authority, we begin to overcome the spirit of futility upon the earth. Romans 8 says that the whole earth is subjected to futility. And it's in birth pangs. It's trying to birth something. And what it's birthing is a manifestation of the sons of God. And the manifestation of the sons of God are the deliverers that God releases in these last days to bring a futility to an end upon the earth. And so our level of our submission determines the level of the authority that we walk in. See, every time I get out there and I get in trouble, I get in trouble a lot. I mean, really, attitude of my heart gets me in trouble. My big old mouth gets me in trouble. I've been known to have a disease. It's called the runoff at the mouth disease. I probably ran off of the mouth some this morning already. And when you have a disease like that, I'm going to tell you good news. It's not incurable. Because when you start manifesting this old nature, you just go and try to find that place of obedience and submission to the Lord. And in that, you'll find once again the proper order of your life. Then he'll begin to direct your path. See, the more you feel like you're out of sorts is an indication that you really are out of sorts. Because when you come under the blanket and the anointing and the authority of the Father, then you will have the peace of God that will pass all understanding, that will rule and guard your heart. It's only when you're in that independent mode that that's when futility begins to set in upon you, and frustration, and that disturbance of your spirit. See, most people that get disturbed in their spirit, they don't realize it's probably because they're disturbed. Christ possessed a meekness and a lowliness before the Father. His constant heart was to get as low as he could before the Father. Sorry about my bald head shining on you. But the lower he got, the higher he was raised. He even got so low that he was buried in the ground to be raised by the power of God and exalted to the very seat of the Father. His right-hand man he became. You want to be exalted? Get buried. Buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. I've got about 2 minutes. Christ possessed a weakness and a lowliness before the Father. He said in Matthew 11, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and I'm lowly of heart. Who was meek and lowly of heart? Who was meek and lowly of heart? Christ Jesus. What are you? Meek and lowly of heart? Or independent and prideful? Self-willed and determined? Putting it in plain terms, it says, blessed are those who are meek. Blessed are those who are not on an ego trip. Blessed are the submissive ones. Blessed are those who are willing to lose their own identity. Thank God of all who you are in Christ, but always remember it's who you are in Christ, not who you are. It's all in Christ. Nothing in you is worthy, but what he puts in you is a valuable treasure. It's all in Christ. None of your gifts, none of your talents, none of your charisma, none of your intelligence means anything in the kingdom of God other than that which passes through the place of lowliness and meekness. So only then can God use you and transform you. So, well, I thought I was pretty important. You are. He loves you very much. But your importance is only revealed through your positioning before him. Because it's only when he's revealed through you that you're really important. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Blessed are those who are willing to lose their lives for his sake. Luke 9:24, for he will find them. I don't know what we do with scriptures like that. We can either throw them out or we can use them. I don't know what do we do. The meek shall inherit the earth. What do we do with that? I thought it was us prideful, arrogant people that inherited the earth. I thought it was us strong people. I thought it was those that had the Superman underneath the Clark Kent uniform just waiting to expose ourselves to the earth. Oh, if they only knew who I was. And I don't want to know who you are, but I want to know who he is in you. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. I want to see that authority. Yes. Woo! Glory to God. I saw it one time in Charlotte with Mahesh's meeting in the tent, and the storms came up in the wind, and I'm standing there. My God, I thought that we were all going to die. It was a horrible storm. It was moving into that whole region, and the tent was moving like this, and the center post was coming up just enough to where it was ready to split off, and the whole tent was going to fall down. My thought was, I need to find an exit soon. Right in the middle of that, Bonnie was up talking, taking the offering probably, and just wouldn't stop. She had the runoff at the mouth disease. And Mahesh gently went up there and kind of pushed her to the side. And she had no clue that this thing, everybody's fixing to die that was in this tent. And Mahesh said, Shalom. Which means peace. Instantly, the wind stopped blowing. It wasn't 1 minute later, 30 seconds later, 10 seconds later. But instantly, from about a 90 mile an hour gust of wind, it was instantly stopped. I'm sitting there saying, wow. authority triumphs. Peace be still. That's what happens to you meek ones. That's what happens to you submissive, obedient, compliant, yielded, hungry, lowly ones. You can stand and declare to the seas and the heavens, because you're not speaking on your own authority, but the one who's called you. My goodness. The manifestation of the sons of God will come forth in a people who are submissive to the Lord. I used to be around the manifesting sons of God back in the 70s, and those were the most prideful, arrogant people I'd been around, because they had this great revelation of who they are in God, and they let everybody know about it. I say, you tell you what, every revelation must go through the cross in order to have a resurrection power upon it. Without the cross on the revelation, it becomes an arrogant religious expression. To the extent you're submissive to the Lord, to that extent, His authority will work in you. The name of Jesus Christ will be no more effective on your lips than what it is in your heart. Remember the sons of Sceva in the book of Acts chapter 19? The sons of Sceva, they said, oh, we're going to cast out devils. We're going to exorcise some demons in the name of Jesus and in the name of Paul. And the devils tore them up a new one. We know Jesus, we know Paul, but we have no idea who you are. It's not just the name of Jesus, it's who you are. They took me at my word that my message is about over. I submit to that. The spirit of futility, once it's broken in our own hearts, once it's broken there, we'll no longer walk in confusion, but in complete submission to the Lord. Then we begin to take dominion over every area of futility upon the earth. Hallelujah. That one scripture, chapter 19, just look at that real quick. Throw that up, 19 verse 11. I want you to look at what Paul's doing. You'll like this stuff. Acts chapter 19, verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. And also there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them. So they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Now the devil will just strip you down, beat you up. Lord, let in this hour, let us not have the spirit of the sons of Sceva, the spirit of independence, the spirit that isolates ourselves from your kingdom. But Lord, let us be a people so bonded into you, who are so identified with your nature and your heart, that out of our mouth when we speak, it's the authority of God upon the earth. This is the kingdom, isn't it? How many want to be a part of that kingdom? Amen. How many would like to, if you're not already a part of it, would you like to sign up this morning? You know how to pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, don't you? Every day we ought to pledge allegiance to that kingdom of God. Say, Lord, this day I choose to follow you. This day I submit my heart. This day I yield myself. This day I become submissive and obedient unto you. This day I refuse to do anything apart from you. That ought to be the heart, isn't it? Glory to God.